This is Lifestyle Indy with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're listening today. Our first guest is Jill Thompson. She is the communications manager with the American Lung Association in Indiana. Welcome.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks for having me.
You know, when you talk about lung cancer, it's one of those things that you know somebody, or at least you know somebody that knows somebody that has had it. A lot of people are affected by lung cancer. What are the statistics here in the state of Indiana? Do you have those?
I do. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people do know people who have been affected by lung cancer, but most people aren't aware that lung cancer is actually the number one cancer killer of both women and men in the United States. And so here in Indiana, in 2019 alone, we estimate that about 5,000 Indiana residents will be diagnosed with lung cancer.
Wow.
And unfortunately, out of those people, about 3,600 people will die from the disease. Lung cancer is a very deadly cancer.
Now, is it because they didn't catch it in time or just because it is deadly and there's really not a lot you can do about it?
What you said is absolutely correct. It's because they didn't catch it in time. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, lung cancer is often caught in the later stages when it is most deadly, and sometimes the symptoms of lung cancer don't present themselves until those later stages.
Well, let's talk about that. Why is that? So the symptoms, what are the symptoms? Let's talk about the symptoms, and let's talk about how we can maybe be aware and help people catch that sooner.
Sure. So the primary symptoms of lung cancer are wheezing, shortness of breath, coughing, kind of a hacking cough. Unfortunately, a lot of times when people get those types of symptoms, it means they're in the later stages of the disease. The early stages of the disease usually present no symptoms at all, which can be pretty scary.
Yeah.
But fortunately, within the last 10 years, I believe, we've had a new lung cancer screening available. It's a low-dose CT lung cancer screening, and so it's only available for people who are at a high risk of lung cancer, but a lot of people don't know that there is actually lung cancer screening that can catch lung cancer in the early stages.
Now, you said CT. Is that like a CAT scan or what? What is
exactly
that test?
Exactly. Okay. But it's a lower dose CAT scan so that you're not hit with as much radiation as the regular one, but it can show the lung cancer nodules in the person if they have them.
I see. Now, those at high risk, we're talking probably smokers.
Yeah, people who smoked people who have smoked in the last 15, 20 years, and then people who are over the age of 55. And we actually have, if you go to savedbythescan.org, there's a very quick 2-minute quiz that everybody can go on there and take, and it'll tell you if you have a high risk of lung cancer, and also, say, here's what you should talk to your doctor about if you are at high risk of lung cancer.
Oh, well, that's helpful. Savedbythescan.org. Okay. What about the lung cancers that affect people who've never been a smoker? Those always have baffled me. Explain that to me. I mean, how does that work?
You know, we don't really know, but more and more we are seeing people who have never smoked who are getting lung cancer. And what we like to say is lung cancer does not discriminate. If you have lungs, you can get lung cancer.
Wow.
And there are other risk factors for lung cancer besides smoking. There are radon gas.
That's
gas that you can't smell or taste. It's very hard to detect as a person, but it's very easy to detect using radon detectors. That's actually the second leading risk factor for lung cancer.
Wow, the radon. My daughter recently bought a much older home, and I said, pay extra for the radon. I think she had to pay like $150 or something, which was a lot of money for a kid in her 20s, you know? But she did it, and the house didn't have radon, but I had heard that, and I thought, you know, it's worth doing. For people listening, if they suspect there may be radon in their house, or maybe they just want to know so they can sleep well at night, is that an easy thing to do? You call up an inspector, say, hey, I want a radon test, buy a radon detector. What's the best thing to do in that situation, Jill?
You know, it's very easy. You can buy a radon detector kit for just about $15 online.
Great.
And you put that in your basement, typically, or, you know, whatever situation you live in. Usually you put it towards the ground, towards the basement,
okay.
And it will detect your radon levels. And then if you do have high radon detect levels, you can call a professional to get that mitigated.
Yes, and I have a friend that had that done, and you know, it's basically airing out the basement. Don't they have to put some, not, I don't know if piping or tubing is what I'm looking for, but they have to get some fresh air in there, right? Or get the radon out.
And there's actually a device that they'll put in there that'll help clear out
okay.
the radon. It's actually much simpler than it sounds.
Yeah, I don't want it to sound.
And get
yeah.
the mitigation kit. So,
yeah.
It's very easy to do, and we recommend that anybody do that who has purchased a new house. Maybe they're moving into an older residence, whether it's new or not, to check for radon. That's very important.
So new house, old house, just if you move, get it done to check.
Absolutely.
Because where does the radon come from? Is it just certain types of soil or certain areas, or what? Where does it come from?
Yes, it's a naturally occurring gas that
okay.
comes up from the soil. So it's more prevalent in certain areas. Here in the Midwest, it's very prevalent in certain areas
okay.
like Indiana and Illinois, Iowa. They all have high levels of radon. So you just have to, everyone should check their radon levels, definitely.
Okay, so lung cancer, the number one killer, 5,000 diagnosed every year in Indiana. We've talked about some of the things that can cause it, smoking. It could be radon. Are there other well-known causes, or are those the two big ones?
Air pollution can
oh.
actually cause lung cancer as well. There's two different kinds of air pollution. There's ozone pollution, which we call smog, and then there's particle pollution, which we call soot, which is little tiny particles in the air from factories, from car emissions, and those can actually lodge deep within your lungs and have been proven to cause lung cancer.
Wow.
So, and then besides air pollution, radon, and smoking, genetics play a factor into lung cancer.
Really?
And then there are actually, you know, sometimes we just don't know why certain people get lung cancer, and that's why we need more research into lung cancer.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk about the research, but it is interesting. You know, you might know somebody who's smoked their entire lives, and they're in their 80s, and they don't get cancer, but yet the mom with the four young kids, you know, gets it and dies young. It's all very sad, actually, because it affects so many people.
It affects so many people, and when it's caught very late, it can be very deadly.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be scary, but there's absolutely hope. I talked to a woman yesterday. She was 23 years old when she was diagnosed with lung cancer, which is very rare. But fortunately now, just a few years later, she has two kids, and she's doing great.
Wow. How about that? And what is her prognosis? That she'll be around for a while? Or is it always a death sentence? Not necessarily.
No, absolutely not. We have so many new great treatments out there, and surgery is always the first preferred option to remove that tumor. And if we catch it early enough, then it's very often that people are declared cancer-free and live the rest of their lives
wow.
cancer-free and just as they have been living.
Right. Why is education and training so important?
Well, education is important because, just like we just said, people need to know that anybody can get lung cancer, and they need to know the symptoms and the signs and the risk factors, because a lot of people that just people who smoked cancer, and that's absolutely
mm-hmm.
not true.
Mm-hmm.
So that this might not be a health concern for people who never smoked or people who are a little bit younger. In fact, we did a survey recently that said only 3% of women cite lung cancer as a top of mind health concern.
Oh. And maybe that should be higher on our radar?
Absolutely. Considering lung cancer mm-hmm. is the number one cancer killer of women, it should be higher up on their,
wow.
you know, on their mind mm-hmm. when they're worried about their health. I'm sure a lot of women, you know, many women or most women get their mammograms
sure.
on a regular basis
mm-hmm.
and are, you know, thinking about lung cancer and doing self-exams. Well, people should think about their lung health in the same way.
So pay attention.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we always say that. Pay attention to your body.
Mm-hmm.
If something's changing, if something doesn't feel right, you are your best advocate.
Yeah, I agree. with that. So what about secondhand smoke? That's also, are there new studies about that? I mean,
secondhand smoke can absolutely cause lung cancer. Okay. And so the American Lung Association works very hard to promote clean indoor air quality. We were big advocates for, you know, getting smoking out of restaurants and airplanes and workplaces.
Yeah, good job.
And we continue to do that work every single day.
Yeah, congratulations on that, because that took years and years and years.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's still more work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. We are talking with Jill Thompson. She is the communications manager with the American Lung Association in Indiana. And we're going to talk more with her, and we're going to take a short break. I want to talk about asthma awareness when we come back is one of the things. Also, turning America turquoise, and oh so much more when we come back with Lifestyle Indy on Freedom 95.
You're listening to Lifestyle Indy with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Thanks for tuning in today. Our guest is Jill Thompson. She is the communications manager with the American Lung Association of Indiana here. And lung cancer, the number one killer of men and women, correct, in America?
That is right. Lung cancer is the number one cancer killer.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, we need some more research to put a stop to this. Is that, I mean, I know that you do different fundraisers. Let's talk about that. And some of those, or much of that money, goes to the research. Does it stay here in Indiana?
It does. We have several different events here in Indiana, and the money goes right back to Indiana in helping educate people about lung disease and lung cancer, helping people through educational programs, and just raising awareness. And people need to know more about lung cancer and lung disease.
So if we've got some listeners right now that are smokers and they want to quit, I mean, I know it's difficult. People tell me that because it's mostly a habit. And then, of course, there's ingredients in there that make you want more. I mean, what do you suggest with your education in the field? What's a good first step?
Well, a great first step is we always say you need to be ready to quit. Mm-hmm. And when you are ready to take that step to quit, the American Lung Association has a program called Freedom from Smoking, okay. And it's one of the best rated, most successful quit smoking cessation programs out there.
Huh.
And you can take the classes online. You can do it over the phone, where you would talk to a counselor over the phone several times over several weeks, or you can actually go to in-person clinics to help you quit smoking. And it's a 6-week program, and it does include what we call nicotine replacement therapies, which are pretty much nicotine patches.
Okay, and I'm looking, I just clicked, I'm going to go back. What's your website?
Our website is lung.org.
I see it. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I had clicked onto the Freedom from Smoking clinics, and it actually has a button there that find a clinic. So you can hopefully find one that's close to you, or like you said, you could choose to do it online as well.
Absolutely. And as you said earlier, smoking, tobacco, cigarettes it's a very, very addictive product. Nicotine is very addictive. So what we tell people is don't get down if you have a relapse. We have a stat that says it takes about 11 times for the 11 quit tries for the average person to quit smoking.
Oh my goodness,
so
really?
If you don't get frustrated if you can't quit that first time, just try again. Keep trying, because it's very important for your health to quit smoking.
Yes, I would agree. And there are probably different methods that work for different personality types and different people.
Absolutely. And we go over those during our Freedom from Smoking classes, different ways to cope with cravings, different ways to cope with different situations when others might be smoking, you know, just how to avoid those situations.
Managing stress, avoiding weight gain. That's a funny one, because I've known people that have quit smoking and, you know, they pick up M&Ms instead or something. You're like, oh, you trade one thing for another, but not as bad as smoking. But that's definitely a thing, avoiding the weight gain. It also talks about developing a new self-image. And I hear that you can taste food so much better, from my friends who used to smoke and don't anymore.
That's absolutely correct. After you quit smoking, you're taste buds regenerate, and you actually tastes are brighter for you.
Interesting. So we've talked about smoking cessation. Let's talk a little bit about asthma awareness. Asthma is something that affects a lot of people too, and that's, you know, right there in your lungs. I work in a school during the day, and there's a lot of kids that, you know, you have to be very careful with allergies and with, you know, what the weather's doing because of asthma. Speak to our audience a little bit about asthma these days and maybe some statistics and what you all are doing to help with that.
Yeah, so there's millions and millions of people across the U.S. that suffer from asthma, and it's, you know, from different levels. And so it's really important for people with asthma to identify their asthma triggers. And everyone has different asthma triggers, whether it's their allergies. So a lot of people with allergies and asthma, they're affected in different times of the year, different seasons. Like spring might be a time for them that they have more asthma events and more asthma problems. Sometimes it's dust in their home. Sometimes it's the weather. Air pollution can also cause asthma events. So it's really important for people to work with their doctor to identify that. And then we have on our website what's called an asthma action plan. So people can go in there, kind of fill out the information with their doctor, and it helps, you know, guide them in their asthma journey.
Because once you have asthma, I mean, that's a diagnosis for life, right?
That's right. It is a diagnosis for life, but when it's well controlled, it doesn't need to impact your life.
Right. You can lead a full, productive life. Yes, I agree.
That's absolutely. And so, and you had asked about stats. Here in Indiana, there's more than 100,000 kids who have asthma, and about 500,000 adults that have asthma.
Say that again. 500,000 adults and how many kids? 100,000?
100,000. Wow. That's correct.
That's a lot of people.
And asthma is actually the number one reason why kids are absent from school.
What?
So it's really important for them to have that asthma controlled, and you know, a major reason why adults also call out from work.
Interesting. Anyway, the website's great. There's solutions for many of these things that we're talking about today. It's lung.org, an easy one to find. They have support communities online. If you're looking for a primary care practice, it's just a great resource, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. There's so much on there. And here at the American Lung Association, we have a bunch of different programs. Besides the support programs, there's you or a loved one or maybe a child has asthma. Asthma Basics is really the first step to learn about your asthma or your loved one's asthma.
Let's talk about the state of the year here in Indiana. You talked about ozone, smog, and particle smog or you know, the couple of different ways.
Particle pollution.
I wrote solution. I knew that was wrong. So I'm like, what was it? Particle pollution. Right. Correct. I was in China over over spring break, and that was bizarre. And I'm thinking it was particle pollution. It was like I would go back into the place we were staying, and on my sunglasses, there's like this soot, like you mentioned. That's so crazy. But yeah, they have a lot of pollution over there. So what's the state of the air here in Indianapolis and central Indiana? Do they do studies locally?
Absolutely. So every year, and this year, every year we release our state of the air report. This year we released it on April 24th, so not too long ago.
Right.
And unfortunately, here in Indianapolis, we received an F grade for ozone pollution.
F as in, not good?
F as in failing.
Oh.
And we were ranked 55th most polluted in the United States.
What?
And so, yeah, 55th, which isn't terrible. Well, there's lots of reasons. One of the main reasons for increased ozone pollution is hotter days. So ozone pollution is created when there's a lot of heat and it mixes with a lot of cars on the road and factories and that kind of emissions pollution.
Right.
And so what happens is as the days get hotter, ozone forms more easily and then it's harder to clean up. So over the time period that we looked at for this report was which was 2015 to 2017, those were three of the hottest years on record.
Wow.
So we're seeing ozone pollution increase in cities all over the U.S. So it's not just Indianapolis.
So 55 is out of cities. That really isn't terrible when you think about all the cities in America. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And speaking to what you just were talking about, those no zone action days are those specific types of days when they tell you, hey, don't fill up your gas tank before or after six, or do fill it up before or after six, those kinds of things to try to help with that.
Yes, and that's actually what the report measures, is it measures number of unhealthy ozone days during that time period.
Okay.
And it's a weighted average, but Indianapolis had 3.7 unhealthy air pollution days in those each year in those three years. And that doesn't mean just three unhealthy air days, but out of all the air days, it's like a weighted percentage.
Okay. Makes sense. So let's talk about turning America turquoise. Why turquoise?
Well, during the month of May, we have National Women's Lung Health Week, and we also call it Turquoise Takeover. We love it, and it's for our Lung Force Initiative, and the goal of our Lung Force Initiative is to raise awareness of lung cancer in women. And so the signature color of Lung Force is turquoise, and it's a bright, fresh air type color that we can all wear to help raise awareness. And during that time, we turn our profiles, pictures turquoise. We encourage people to wear turquoise and all with the goal of raising money for lung cancer research and raising awareness of lung cancer in women.
And do you find that reaches a lot of people? Probably does.
Yes. And we, raise awareness all over the United States. So it's not just here in Indianapolis. It is cities and states all over the U.S. who we encourage people to wear turquoise, talk about turquoise, post on social media with, turquoise.
Yeah.
We have a partner, CVS Health.
Oh, nice.
So CVS stores all over the U.S. They're asking people to donate to Lung Force during the month of May.
I'm thinking turquoise is one of those colors that looks good on everybody, too.
I agree. It's a beautiful color.
Don't you think? Okay, so let's talk about how long has the American Lung Association been around? It's been a long time.
Yes, it's been about 110 years.
Wow.
The American Lung Association was one of the first patient advocate organizations. We actually started as the Tuberculosis Foundation.
Interesting.
And helped fund the tuberculosis vaccine.
Oh my goodness. And now. And that's TB is short for tuberculosis. It's not common anymore like it used to be, is it? Like 100 years ago, it probably was affecting a lot of people.
Absolutely. They used to call it the white plague.
Mm.
And so before the vaccination, it was a very deadly disease. And so we helped, the Tuberculosis Association, which is now the American Lung Association, helped fund that vaccine. And now tuberculosis is, people could almost call it rare.
Yeah.
You don't hear very many tuberculosis cases anymore.
So here in Indiana, there's a huge tax on cigarettes. Does any of that money go to you guys or to help with lung cancer research? Is that a dumb?
Specifically go to the American Lung Association,
Okay. Totally.
But what it does is some of that money is directed to help fund certain programs for smoking cessation, for awareness and education, which is great. However, we do would love more of that money to go to educational programs about it.
Sure.
Also, we are advocating for a higher cigarette tax in Indiana right now.
Oh, even higher? They found that it is effective in helping people to stop smoking because they just can't afford it? I mean, I think, isn't that kind of the goal, the bottom line?
That's absolutely the goal of tobacco taxes, and it's actually twofold. We find that higher tobacco taxes not only help people quit smoking, it encourages them to quit because they no longer can afford it.
Wow.
And we have a percentage. It's something like every 10-cent increase, a certain number of people quit smoking, which is fantastic.
Really?
And
They've proven
on
that.
On the other side, it's a deterrent to keep younger people and teens from starting to smoke because of the cost.
Yeah. What is your take on, and we've got to wrap this up, what's your take on the, they're not inhalers. They're not e-cigarettes the, I can see people blowing smoke out of them. You know what I'm trying to say, right?
The vaping. The vaping.
Yes. What about the vaping? Do you guys have thoughts on that?
Very concerned about the vaping epidemic and e-cigarettes. And the reason why is because these devices, people think they're harmless and they're not.
Right.
They actually have nicotine in them, which is very addictive. And so we're seeing a new generation addicted to nicotine.
Wow, that's scary. Well, we've been speaking with Jill Thompson with the American Lung Association. She's their communication manager here in Indiana. It's been very educational. We appreciate your time so much. What can we do just as, you know, Joe Smith out there? Do you have fundraisers? Can we make donations?
Yes. Here in Indiana, one of our biggest fundraisers is the Fight for Air Climb at Salesforce Tower.
Sure.
That'll be happening next March. We don't have a date yet. We just wrapped up our event for this year, so that's one of our biggest fundraising events. And then coming up here in the fall is our Evening of Promise Gala.
Ooh.
So you can find all of this out at lung.org and go on and donate and educate yourself on lung disease and lung cancer.
Very good. Jill Thompson, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. And you are listening to Lifestyle Indie.